Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 16th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. For the past 16 years, every year that I've been a priest, I have dedicated all of my Sunday sermons during the month of October to preaching about how the Lord Jesus asks us to live in an intimate relationship with Him. And it could not be more fitting to begin this 16th annual pro-life mini-series during this special year of faith with today's powerful gospel from St. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostles come up to Jesus and say, "Increase our faith." This prayer would be an excellent billboard slogan, a great screen saver, or a bumper sticker. Increase our faith. You know, we can never have too much faith. That's because the virtues never have an excess, right? You can never have too much humility. Ralph just has too much humility. He has to kind of tone it down a little bit. We would never say that, right? No one can ever have too much love. Oh, Penelope just has to stop being so loving. Right? We would never say that. No one can ever have too much hope or too much patience. No one ever says he needs to cut a little back, a little bit on his virtue of thanksgiving. That's ridiculous, right? The virtues do not know of an excess. We can never have too much faith. In this life, our faith can always increase. And so we say, increase our faith. This is what I have been personally praying for during this year of faith. I do believe, but my faith and trust in God is far from perfect. I have a lot of room in my bucket for more faith, more trust in God. So I've been praying a lot this year. Lord, increase my faith. And I've been praying this for you too, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that your faith has been growing during this year of faith. Lord, increase our faith. The virtue of faith, that is, believing everything that Jesus reveals to us, this virtue of faith is absolutely essential for our pro-life miniseries. It is the foundation of all of these past 16 years of the pro-life miniseries. It's all based on faith. You know, there's a saying at Lourdes in France, where our Blessed Mother appeared to St. Bernadette Soubirous back in 1858. There's a saying there at Lourdes in France: for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those who do not, no explanation is possible. For those who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those who do not, no explanation is possible. If you believe in Jesus and put your trust in Him, you will receive the good news with great joy and enthusiasm. And if you don't believe in Jesus, the good news won't make any sense. It's all based on faith in Jesus. And so I pray for an increase in faith as we begin this October pro-life mini-series, that you would believe all and everything that Jesus tells us, because He can neither deceive nor be deceived. He can never, ever lie or be lied to. But to believe that Jesus doesn't tell you any lies, you have to know Him. You have to have a relationship with Him. You know, to conclude this year of faith, Pope Francis gave us a very special letter. And unfortunately, it's not talked about in the secular press, but it's a very important letter. It's an encyclical letter. It's called Lumen Fidei. It's the light of faith. It's a great letter. I just want to read for you what he says, Pope Francis says, in paragraph 4, two sentences. It's beautiful. Here it is. Paragraph 4, Lumen Fidei. Faith is born of an encounter with a living God who calls us and reveals his love. Transformed by this love, we gain a fresh new vision, new eyes to see. And there it is. That is the core of this first episode in our Pro-Life mini-series. Faith is born, in other words, faith begins with an encounter with a relationship with the living God, with God who is alive, Jesus who isn't dead, who's truly alive. It begins with an encounter, a relationship with Jesus, who's not Jesus of 2,000 years ago, but Jesus who's alive today. It begins with a relationship, not with some impersonal force and energy field that surrounds all living things, Luke Skywalker. It begins with an encounter with a real person. Well, with three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Faith is born with this relationship with these three persons who calls us by name and reveals his love to us. Isn't that beautiful? That's how it begins. 16 years ago, when I began this miniseries, this is the 16th annual miniseries, 16 years ago in September of 1997, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta passed from this world to the next. And 1 week before Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta died, she said to her sisters this. To the sisters, the missionaries of charity, she said, "I worry some of you have still not really met Jesus. One-to-one, you and Jesus alone. Do you really know the living Jesus? Not from books, but from being with him in your heart? Have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you with love? He loves you always, even when you don't feel worthy, even when you're not accepted by others, even when you can't accept yourself sometimes. God is the one who always accepts you." 1 week before she died, she told the sisters, "I worry that some of you have not had this encounter with the living Lord Jesus. That personal, intimate relationship with him who looks at you with love." That's what the Pope is saying in paragraph 4. He says, faith is born from this encounter with the living Lord Jesus who calls us and reveals his love. And then we're transformed. We're transfigured by his love and we gain new eyes to see. We gain a fresh vision that the prophet Habakkuk talked about in our first reading. We are transformed by his love. We see things differently. We see things with his eyes. So let me give you a couple of examples now. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments for a moment. Seeing them from our perspective versus seeing them from God's perspective. The Ten Commandments, you probably have them all memorized, right? You can go through them right from Commandment 1 to Commandment 10, all in order perfectly, right? How about let's start with Commandment 5. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and thou shalt not covet. Do you know that that's not how they're written in Hebrew? It's a shame. We have a terrible, terrible, terrible English translation, my professor, Father Goswin Hobbits, told me. He said, this is how it is really written in Hebrew. God says, in this love relationship, there's no room for killing. In this covenant of love, there's no place for adultery. In this covenant of love, there's no room for stealing. In this covenant of love, it's unthinkable that you should covet. Isn't that a great insight? Isn't that a big difference from thou shalt not to in this covenant, it would be unthinkable for these things to exist. It sounds more like a wedding, doesn't it? When a bride and groom get married, Does the bride say to the groom, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not ever steal, lie, or covet? Never on the wedding day. No, they say to each other, in our love relationship, there's no room for adultery here. Our love is so awesome, it's so profound that we wouldn't even think of stealing or lying. There's no place in our love relationship for coveting. See the difference? If you have a love relationship, everything is seen in terms of this love relationship. If you have a love relationship with the living Lord Jesus, then you see it from the perspective of love. And if we don't have a relationship with the living Lord Jesus, everything seems like a thou shall not. See the difference? Let's talk about how you view road signs. How do you view road signs? There's a lot of road signs, aren't there? Stop signs, stop lights, yield signs, speed limits, don't enter one way. We got all these new one-way streets in town now. I'm so confused, right? You got a one-way street this way. Don't make a U-turn here. Slow down for the curb. Watch out for falling boulders, right? Oh, and then there are detours. Oh, my goodness. We're so tired of detours, right? More detours and roadblocks, and you can't go this way, and watch for deer, and the bridge ices before the roadway, and all of these signs. How do you view these signs? These signs are important, but they're not the purpose of the journey. No one goes on a journey for the signs. You go on a journey to get to your destination, to get home. If I didn't have these road signs, I probably wouldn't make it. I'd go too fast, run into a deer, run into road construction, or drive off a bridge. The road signs help get me to where I want to go. How do you view road signs? Is MnDOT the evil MnDOT giving us road signs? Or are they really trying to help us get safely to our destination? The Lord puts a lot of road signs out for us. Out of love. He's not trying to be mean. He really wants us to make it home to heaven. He really wants us to make us home safe without too many accidents and detours along the way. These signs and moral teachings that the Lord provides to us are not the most important part. The most important part is the destination, getting to heaven and entering into that intimate, personal encounter with the living God. The road signs just help us to get there. And that's what the Pope is saying when he says faith is born of an encounter with the living God who calls us and reveals his love. Transformed by this love, we gain a fresh vision and new eyes to see. Oh Lord, increase our faith.